here, Farn Farn Farn, off the Art Old Barn for We Are Music Weekly from Guardian.co.uk. I'm Paul McInnes, and in the upcoming moments, we'll finally have Mikachu back on the pod to talk found sounds and jet engines. We'll have music from Jordan Sparks, Wave Machines, and Night Jewel. Daniel Merriweather will do the feature with No Name, and you know what? We'll have your face back too. But first, clash your miniature cymbals, you monkeys, because here comes Hot Chip. That was One Pure Thought by Hot Chip, our first guest today. And if you think I'm lying, you can ask Rosie Swash.
No, you're not lying.
We first had them on our show 2 years ago this week.
Exactly.
Yeah. Wow. So we must catch them on this kind of interregnum in between albums, because we got them on some non-album project last time. But explain to our listeners why we're having them back.
Well, officially it's because they're involved with something called Creating Sense 5, which is a sort of talent searching mission in which they're going to take bands under their wing. But unofficially, it's because Music Weekly hearts Hot Chip. They're busy making their fourth album, which they have so far said is going to be a bit calmer than their last one, Made in the Dark, which we loved and which was very rhythm-centric. And the last we heard of it, they had approached Peter Gabriel to work with them.
Oh, so. Yeah, because they did that cover, didn't they? The whole Vampire Weekend thing over Christmas. We drafted in crack troop Alex Needham to perform this interview, and he chatted with Joe and Felix and did a grand job. He started by elegantly negotiating the PR peg.
You're judging a talent competition called Creating Senses, and you chose a band called The Penny Serenade. So why did they win?
The Penny Serenade were very different. They were kind of strange, very kind of English, folky songs using instruments like accordion and violin. We felt that they just kind of stood out as being different and kind of more interesting.
What were you looking for?
I had this bizarre idea when we were asked if we wanted to do this whole event.
That the idea about the new rhythm that you had?
I had a kind of really, looking back on it, it's a very stupid idea that some young kid would enter this competition that kind of was making crazy dance music that, you know, is quite different somehow. Like I had this idea that there might be kind of a new rhythm invented.
You're looking for the lost chord.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. A new kind of pattern in dance music that...
That you could then rip off.
That we could then rip off and put on our new record.
Instead we're going to have to rip off a load of folk music.
We've been doing that for years, so that's nothing new. But I mean, we didn't get that in the end, mysteriously.
to kind of talk about the DJing, you seem to do quite a lot of it. Does that feed into what you do as musicians, or are they kind of separate things?
It definitely feeds into it, I think. At the moment, we're trying out new songs while we DJ and seeing how they work and what we could change and whether the mix is right and that kind of thing.
Have any cleared the dance floor?
Not so far. Some have gone down poorly.
Really?
Well, not poor, not like boo. Just going like.
Is it quite crushing when that happens?
People don't necessarily know what they're hearing. It's not like you sort of pick up a microphone and say, "And here's
this is our new one."
You just kind of slip it in there, and then. But some of them, having said that, are making people quite excited, I think. So.
Yeah, there's a couple that, although people haven't heard them before, they seem kind of immediately familiar, which is always a good sign.
You are the love that lasts forever, one that will never.
What did you think of Alex's solo album?
I thought it was lovely. It's very powerful in that it's very simple. Like Hot Chip Records, you know, incredibly like layered, and every space and frequency is filled with some kind of like singing or tambourine or little kind of sound. And Alexis, I think, wanted to do something much more raw and simple compared with that, and it sounds great. So yeah, and I mean, there's lots of great songs on there as well, some of which we're thinking of kind of making into Hot Chip songs, possibly in the future. Yeah, it was a very good record.
I suppose you were starting to talk about where you might move next in terms of a kind of musical direction. You sort of said your new album might sound a bit like Crystal Waters.
All that 70s band, what are they called? Red Herring?
Is it awkward to talk about records that are a long way from completion? Or
I think it's a bit like talking about the personality of a child that hasn't been born, and like assessing whether or not they're going to be, what their temperament's
going to
be.
I think he's going to be a boy that loves fishing.
How long have you been working on it now?
We've been working, like, hard working for about 6 weeks in Alan Felix's studio, which is quite nearby. And that's been just a joy. Like, it's the first time we've really used a real studio, and it's been our studio, so we can spend as much time as we want in there and do what we want and work in the way that we want. So we've been twiddling knobs on synthesizers for ages. The only thing we don't want is to talk about it loads right now and then for people to be like sick of it by the time it comes out, you know? Because people's attention spans are so short with records now. You don't want to feel like the event has happened before we've even finished it.
You also get these stories like Hot Chip delaying new album, for example, yeah. Which we haven't done. We're just making it.
6 weeks seems like quite a long time to me. I might just totally don't know what I'm talking about.
No, I think that probably is quite a long time. Like sometimes people go to a residential studio and bang them out in 2 weeks or whatever. But this is just totally new for us. Like the last couple of records have been made in breaks in between touring, and they've been made kind of on our laptops or in our bedrooms during a touring cycle, and while we've been away we take our laptops and try and record bits and pieces, and we do them on the fly in a sense. So we just wanted to do something different, like spend a long time, see what happened if we did that, you know. And we're just really enjoying it. Like I'm really enjoying being in London, and kind of realized that the last couple of years being away all the time, I kind of never really felt like I was at home wherever I was, you know? So enjoying being fixed and sorted in one place and just working solidly. The quotes about Crystal Waters and Womack, which were about trying to make pop records that have longevity, but are still simple pop records, but
long-lasting.
For them to not be pop records that sound annoying after 2 weeks, but ones that last. I think that's a great skill.
Last year there was a lot of publicity about your school because it spawned, as well as yourselves, it spawned a lot of musicians who've gone on to be very successful in their field, such as Kieran Ebden and
Adam Ilhan
Burial.
Yeah, and
the Maccabees.
Yes, the Maccabees. The school's called Elliot. It's in Putney, top of Putney Hill, and it's a comprehensive school, not a posh school at all. Quite a rough school, actually, nowadays, apparently. Yeah, there were a couple of years that had a lot of people that have gone on to make music. Adem and Kieran were very good friends of mine and kind of mentors, really. Like, they introduced me to loads of good stuff, Quickspace, Supersport, and Will Oldham, Smog, Stereo Lab. I used to go to see gigs all the time with them. And Burial, I didn't know it, really. I knew his brother a little more, and he was a year above me. Oh, and actually, the one that's, you know, there's all these kind of trendy musicians that went to our school, but there's a guy called Herman who plays heavy metal guitar, and he's in a band called Dragon Force that have sold like 8 million records.
Yeah.
So he's by far the most well-off musician, but no one talks about him so much.
So it wasn't just one specific type of kind of left field electronic pop music that was a particular speciality of the school.
There wasn't a great music department. It was quite small. It was very free. Like, there was rooms and like a drum kit and a couple of amps available if you wanted to have a band practice after school. The best story was that there was a free jazz band who one of the art teachers, Mr. Tucker, inspired, wanted them to make this crazy free music. And he told me the story that they had one rehearsal in their entire existence. It consisted of one rehearsal where they threw the entire drum kit out the window of the school from the second floor and then disbanded. So that, I mean, that's quite good. It's anarchic. I think there was quite a spirit of freedom. That's the one thing that I think that there was in the school, like left-wing kind of liberal teachers who told you that you could do exactly what you wanted to do.
And then cheered you on when you threw a drum kit out the window.
I didn't throw the drum kit out the window.
That was Joe and Felix from Hot Chip, and the Creating Sense 5 event takes place on June the 4th. And should you so wish, and I think you probably will because it's a goodie, this interview, you can hear all of it as a Music Weekly extra, which is downloadable from the usual place, guardian.co.uk/musicweekly. Swinging around in my chair, hey there, it's Rebecca Nicholson.
Hi again.
You've got cool Doc Martens on.
Thanks. Apparently they're very back in.
Well, I know it's Sarah Bowden, who's sometime of this parish and of Observer Music Monthly. She's rocking the kind of skinhead look at the moment. I wonder if that's...
Maybe we could combine.
You've come to join us for Singles Club, and Singles Clubbing is just what we'll do. We're going to start with Night Jewel and Lover. That was Lover by Night Jewel. Formerly the crime-fighting alter ego of US singer-songwriter Jewel, Night Jewel is now the stage name for Ramona Gonzalez, a multimedia artist from LA, which shows how times change. This track features on Night Jewel's debut album, Good Evening. And good evening to you too, Rosie.
Yes.
You've had Night Jewel on this pod before, haven't you?
I have. I think it was about a year ago, maybe not, but I had a run with Week for Me. I had to have this song back on because I love this song so much. I think the quality of its recording is very similar to the last one, that kind of four track, obviously, you know, trying to make it sound like a dusty cassette or something like that. And it's definitely designed to sound like a past era recording, but I think this is a superior song to the last one. The Phil Manzanera Roxy Music guitars in it really suit the way she's changed her voice here and brought it down to a lower, kind of gutsier register than in Week for Me. It was kind of shrill and up there, so you get a bit more feel for who she really is. So
what I like about it, and what I didn't expect to like about it, is that it sounds so 80s. There's nothing that kind of updates it to now. You got in the charts there are a lot of kind of synth pop songs that sound 80s, but they've been given a kind of new twist and a kind of upbeat sound. But this sounds like an 80s soul track. It's really smooth and it's really relaxing and calm. And I quite like the fact that it's just authentic. It doesn't sound like they've tried to do anything else. She's tried to do anything else with it.
Yeah, I can imagine that if this was made in the 80s, it would have that that pace. It would be the pace of a lounge where you might drink a cocktail. Whereas this sounds like you might be played in a shebeen, like a back room, where you get kind of moonshine by the gallon. And I quite like it. It sounds almost drugged to me, like really so slow in a pace, but it's bewitching in that way. That's Lover by Night Jewel, and Good Evening, the album on which it appears, is available to buy now. Second track on Singles Club is Battlefield by Jordan Sparks. Both hands are behind my back for nothing. Oh no, these times when we climb so fast to fall. That's Jordan Sparks with Battlefield. Jordan Sparks won American Idol in 2007 For those too young to remember that far back, it means she's kind of like Susan Boyle, but without the new perm. This is the first single from her second album, also called Battlefield, as is her dog. Rebecca.
Yes.
You brought this in.
I did bring it in.
Because apparently you just can't stop listening to it.
I can't stop listening to it. I wish there was video in here so we could see the dancing that you've just performed.
It's a power, it's a power dance.
I can't stop listening to it. I genuinely think it is the best song that I've heard this year. Pop Justice did a few tweets about it when they first got hold of it and said a similar thing. But yeah, I just think it's amazing. It's bombastic. I mean, there's nothing restrained about it at all. It's just, it could be the umbrella of the year. It's that kind of song. I haven't seen the video for it yet. I don't know if there is one, but I can't wait until there is one because I'm fairly certain that it's going to involve wind machines. Yeah. Big flashing lights. So yeah, wind machine pop.
I mean, Umbrella is definitely the touchstone here, isn't it? It's got almost that rhythm is almost exactly the same, and it does have that full throttle element, except it's like that from start to finish, which the Umbrella builds up in that sense. And I also thought it was funny, there's no guest rap on there.
No.
It's like you would expect, it being called Battlefield, you'll get Lil Wayne in there to go and talk about putting a Tech N9ne in somebody's face, but there is no guest rap. I wonder whether that's a sea change. Rosie, what do you make?
I really like this. Jordan Sparks did that song No Air with Chris Brown, which no one talks about anymore, but it was nominated for a Grammy, which no one talks about anymore. But it's really similar in terms of the kind of really powerful drums and the way it builds up and up, which this does, where it's, and then, you know, suddenly she's just like, Battlefield, and it's ringing around her head. But she, what I think is really good is that her voice is not, though not completely original, quite distinctive to her. Once you've heard a few of her songs, you really get what she's about. It's very powerful, but it's not too much. Like sometimes I find maybe Beyonce's voice can be, where they really shove it down your ears. It's never that. So she can really carry off this kind of song. I really like it. I think it'll be number one for a long time. Yeah,
I think so. And I'd like to make one bloke-centric prediction that it will also feature as the backing music on a montage of Match of the Day when loads of men crashing into each other with sliding tackles. That is Battlefield, of course, by Jordan Sparks, and it comes out on June the 28th, but you can hear it on the internets all over the place. Final track on Singles Club is I Go, I Go, I Go by Wave Machines. Wave Machines with I Go, I Go, I Go. The Wave Machines are the latest band to use Wave in their name after the Wave Pictures, and that's it. They hail from Liverpool, though, and are famous for recycling knackered musical instruments for their band. I've chosen this tune. I think it's very nice. It's quite perky. It's a perky pop. It's a bit early 80s. It's a bit Howard Jones. I don't usually like upbeat stuff, like fun things. I like it to be a little bit moody and a little bit bassy. But I think this, the energy and the froth of it is something that carries me along. And there's about four or five different things that go on in this tune that I like. And actually, the intro sounds very much like old Beck. And there's a Beckiness to it, I think, in the way that it chops and changes and moves little things in. And the vocals remind me a little bit of Neil Tennant. So all those things are going on. I think it's the sort of music they might play in a gym for toddlers. And I think that that is a good thing. Rosie.
Music for fat toddlers.
Yeah, why not? Let's do that.
I think what you were talking about, wanting the moody bass usually and this, is that I listened to some of their other stuff. They've got a song called Keep the Lights On, which had these really like warped strings in it. And it gives this kind of brand of pop a dark side and a light side, which this song, I think, doesn't have. So it kind of, when I first listened to it, it kind of washed over me a bit. And it did grow on me, but I definitely prefer some of the other stuff. I think it's really hard to be an all-white, slightly geeky electro band without being compared to Hot Chip. Maybe not so much in this one, but some of the other ones they do, they pull off, you know, having their own take on it. But for me, yeah, I think the thing that you were saying you don't miss so much in it is the thing I think it could do with, you know, maybe the middle eight suddenly comes crashing in with some... Yeah, exactly. So
Rebecca.
Yeah, it's funny that you mentioned toddlers, because when I first heard it, I thought of, I don't know if you've ever seen Boogie BBs on CBeebies.
I was thinking of Yo Gabba Gabba.
Yeah, but that's so much cooler than Boogie BBs. But it sort of reminds me of the kind of song they'd have on a programme like that where they're teaching toddlers the alphabet. You know, that kind of same sort of thing. It kind of washed over me. Maybe I'll give it a few more listens and it'll sink in. But I think it was just a little bit too twee for me.
Yeah, I wonder whether that means I have a brain that's kind of tuned to receptive ways in the manner of a toddler. I could maybe pimp that out for consultancy purposes. I can tell you what your toddler thinks. All right, that is The Wave Machines with I Go, I Go, I Go, and it's out on June the 8th. From Da Blog last week on the old singles, Kaj the Raj said, I'm glad the Black Eyed Peas are still serving up the classic tunes. It's like they are singing about my soul. That's ironic, Rosie.
Well, then he or she says, I would like to add that I am not being sarcastic because I have cardiac arrhythmia.
That was last week. We want your reviews of this week's tracks, Jordan Sparks, Night Jewel and Wave Machines, on our blog at guardian.co.uk/musicweekly. Tell us what you think of them, and also these are the tracks that are out this week. When the troubles just itch up, it did not know what it was. Like a child, it had no habits, no opinion about anything. Dirty Projectors, Stillness is the Move. Grizzly Bear, 2 weeks dance. Hockey, Learn to Lose. You know I got to learn to lose for a while. Yeah, I've got to learn to lose for a while. I guess I got to go get it up by till mother broke nigga be quiet. Stacks on T.I., whatever you like. Thanks to Rebecca Nicholson for coming in to join us on Singles Club today.
Yes, that's no problem. Thanks for letting me talk about shoes.
No worries. And Boogie BBs. When are you actually watching Boogie BBs? Do you do it on iPlayer?
Yeah, no, this is from a long time ago. I've got young siblings.
I see.
And it's kind of carried over. But yeah, you should make the effort. It's not as cool as Yo Gabba Gabba, but...
I'll check out Boogie BBs. It might just be my thing. Every week, my singles choice will come from Boogie BBs. All right, that's it for this Singles Club this week. But catch it online in a columnar form every week, every Wednesday, in fact, at guardian.co.uk/music. Next on Music Weekly, we're bringing back the Mikachu. This is the gold funk and ring me back. Ten mongrels home along with a panic pack. Sound travelled in the air and they blew it back. They took out all the noise and it all went back. That's Golden Telephone by Mikachu, an individual we've been raving about for quite some time on this pod, Rosie and I, live and on album. They're more than just one person, though. It's Mikachu and the Shapes. And they were back in town recently after doing quite a lot of gigs around the place, including a very successful stint in the States at South by Southwest. And I seized upon the opportunity to get another chance to chat with them. Now, we talked about various things and we tried to get theoretical. Maybe didn't quite get as deep into it as I might have hoped. But here's Mikachu and the Shapes, and we are talking about Found Sounds. You've talked before about wanting to take the album and reinvent it and not keep it the same. So it's kind of stimulating for you to perform, but also, you know, a different show for the audience. How has that worked out in practice, Mika?
It depends, really. I guess it's nice to try and refresh things and change arrangements and sound as much as possible on tour, but... we try and limit what we have on stage so we can sort of be in control of things and not let things fly out of hand without relying on electronics too much or anything like that. So,
have you found it once you've made the album and it's out there, is it difficult to go back to it and to revisit it?
No, I think, well, hopefully the songs are underneath all the kind of textual decisions that we made on the record. There are songs underneath there, so you can arrange them however you like, really.
If anything, it's probably slightly easier because, I mean, we're almost like remixing, you know, in a funny sort of way, the tunes on it and constantly coming back to it. The more that the tracks are out there in album form, the more reason to keep revisiting them and, yeah, and develop them. Like Golden Phone's gone through numerous...
Sometimes it goes badly.
Sometimes we change it and it's much worse.
Sometimes it's like rehearsals, you're just like, let's do it like this. And then you come to the live performance and you're like, uh-oh, never again.
Which is the song you've gone through most variations on?
Golden Phone.
What's retained and what goes?
The structure usually stays most prominent. I think with all of the tunes that we revisit, it's making the contrasts in the pieces more drastic, you know, so quieter bits need to be sparser and noisy textural bits should be busier or, you know.
We don't want to linger too much on the record, so we try and play new stuff when we get a chance to try out some new things we do, I guess. The record's a big mishmash of lots of found objects, but also a lot of processed drums, like really, really obvious 808 synths, just made even more plastic or distorted, so it's a mix.
But compared to like the way that Matthew Herbert works, where he'd use found sounds having, you know, a story behind them or a concept, like we just try and, if something sounds nice, just use it, you know, like the Hoover got rinsed.
I guess like we're starting to use a sampler on the keyboard more actually, but at first we didn't even think to do that. So it was more like instead of paying for a huge like sampler and getting all this stuff, we'll just get the object.
DIY nature of what you do, is it a principle or is it just that's the way it is because that was what was available to you? If, say, for example, your highly deserved success in the States continues and some bloke with a cigar comes and gives you $25 million to make the next album, would you continue to follow the same ethic or would you...
It's a sound choice.
It's about the sounds.
You can make things sound expensive for very little money these days anyway.
My expressionless face, bought lots of things to replace you. I fill every possible space, do anything to contain you. And I'll put things all over the floor if I stand on one I can see. And I'll put your things all over the floor if I jump on one and smash it all.
Is there a long song in the works? Will you ever make a long song?
Maybe. Well, depends, long? I don't know.
Well, I'd say over 5 minutes. Over 5 minutes.
We'll see. There's no rule. Mark knows the answer.
Come on, Mark.
It's not a... Oh, no pressure. I think development's one thing that we... every musician enjoys working towards, but if a song doesn't require it, you know, like Lips, then don't rinse an idea.
Don't rinse an idea. A lovely note to end on. Thank you very much, Mikachu and the Shapes. That's Mikachu and her attendant Shapes, and the album Jewelry is still out on Rough Trade Records for you to purchase, and we advise that you do. Now, feature with no name. Daniel Merriweather may currently be top five with his single Red, but that don't mean he's too big for the feature with no name. No, no one is too big for the feature with no name. Here's Daniel on his love for Fela Kuti.
a friend of mine in Melbourne who first played me Fela Kuti about 4 or 5 years ago, but I was sort of instantly a fan. Yeah, I guess the thing I love about Fela's music is you know, it's kind of politically charged, but sort of very simple wisdom. Like, all of his lyrics seem to have so much more to them, I guess, than what meets the eye. Like, it's really, really well-written sort of poetry. And because it's all pidgin English, a whole lot of meaning in a few words. I'm obviously not, like, an expert on Nigerian politics of the 70s, but I definitely admire him in a lot of ways because of what he was doing in that, you know, anti-colonial era of Nigeria. At the same time that sort of the Black Panther movement was happening in America, he was almost sort of influenced by that and doing the same thing. And what Fela did was reinterpretation of rhythm. So you get kind of like a bass line almost happening in reverse, you know, it'll kind of go... Whereas in, I guess, you know, Western music or in American music, it would go, so it's kind of really interesting, and all the rhythms seem to sort of fall in what we consider the wrong place, but it, you know, obviously when you listen to it, it sounds like exactly the right place. He really wanted to break away from emulating American music, which seemed to be the trend at the time. Fela really wanted to make a point of like saying, no, we have our own sort of musical and cultural identity. We should make our own music. So I guess that's how Afrobeat sort of started. He was the originator of that. My sort of favourite song, I mean, Expensive Shit is definitely one of my favourite songs. I didn't really know what it was about until I actually went to see the musical, because it tells the story of how he was done for possession of marijuana, and the cops came and he swallowed this tiny amount of, I think he swallowed a joint, but they arrested him and was going to process him, and they locked him up to wait for him to sort of shit out this joint. So he sat in the cell for I think 3 or 4 days, and he didn't pass anything for that long, and actually ended up with constipation. But the whole joke was that it was really expensive shit. So he wrote this song about it, and then, you know, when you listen back to it, it all makes sense. Favorite songs is He Miswrote. It's pidgin English, so I guess the lyrics have so much meaning in so little words. That's kind of a problem with Western music, I feel like, sometimes, and I'm definitely guilty of this a lot, is like saying too many words to describe too little. It should be the other way around. So if you listen to the lyrics in He Miswrote, I guess it's almost like listening to sort of a fable or a hymn or like something that kind of gives you advice on just how to sort of deal with making decisions and things like that. I think it's just a brilliantly written song.
He me his road.
Oh yes.
I say he me his road.
Oh yes.
He go for prison.
Oh yes.
He go for jail.
Oh yes.
I say he me his road.
Oh yes.
I say he me his road.
Oh yes.
I say he me his road.
Oh yes.
Now that was Daniel Merriweather on Fela Kuti and Red. The single is out now and his debut album is upcoming later in June. All right, some more face back time and, well, predictable snipes about Mark Ronson. Paul Mack wrote, shall I read this bill or should you read this?
Whoever he is, you should read it.
Oh, okay. I sometimes think I'm the only man in the UK who likes the Ronson, apart from the silent hordes who buy his records, that is. Maybe there's a support group I could join.
R.G. Scott responded, I guess Ronson is pretty, therefore there will be a fair few men who like him as you do, Paul, and I guess there is a market for the stuff he churns out these days, i.e. COD 60s but with a modern production. But for me, there's no depth to his music and he's not my type. My advice, though, is just go for it, Paul.
I'm not quite sure what that means, but basically I'm going to ask him out for a date.
Sure, go for it, Paul.
Yeah. Over on Facebook, Moz Giles wrote, hello, it's probably a bit late, but I love the Ukraine's entry to Eurovision. That was Svetlana Loboda, of course, as we all remember. And despite the winner still being stuck in my head, oh, it's a fairy tale, I think she was robbed. Thank you for your time and thanks for the pod this week. Best one for a while.
Hello to new friends on Facebook, Idol Boo, Mark Hume, Ian Learmouth and Dan Harper.
All right, and we're nudging towards 1,000 fans on the fan page. It'd be nice to have 1,000 fans, wouldn't it? Yeah, I feel like I could kind of get that tattooed on my chest in a Tupac style. You can post comments on this week's blog or on the fan page or on the Guardian Music Facebook page. Tell us what you think of Daniel Merriweather on Fela Kuti, Mikachu, and also Hot Chip. It's a real triple threat of a package this week. And the blog is at guardian.co.uk/musicweekly, of course. That is it for this week. We'll be back next Friday. But until then, keep it rizzle, as I like to say. Bye-bye.